You know, if you've been reading the news, you've been hearing a lot of sad news lately, right? About what's happening in Aleppo. I was interested to see what it has been like over this last 6 years since the civil war began, and the numbers are shocking. There have been about 500,000 people who have died in the civil war, most of them civilians. Mind you, this is a country that it started at 22 million people. This is a sizable portion of its population. And this number, next number, even more shocking, over half the population has been displaced as refugees, internally and externally. That's staggering. Can you imagine half the United States becoming refugees? And this is just one war, one place, one time in history. And from Columbus to Aleppo, from the dawn of recorded history to the most recent news, from our preschools to our nursing homes, our world is a dark place. We don't like to admit that. We don't like to face it. We'd rather listen to some happy music and watch some exciting television show. But that's the reality, the grim reality. We're mortal and we're frail. We get old. I'm going to be 50 in January. And with every year, I'm amazed at the new pains that appear in my body. Like, I didn't even know that joint existed. I'm getting slower and weaker. I think I'm also starting to lose my memory. I think a lot of you can attest to that. We're ravaged by illness, physical illness, mental illness. We're easily injured, whether it's Kyle blowing out his knee in sports, weekend warriors, or accidents, or even disasters, even large-scale disasters. From the moment we're born, death stalks us relentlessly. We live under the shadow of death. But that's only part of it. The grimmer truth is that there is also darkness in our hearts. It dominates us, it destroys us, it destroys our friendships, our families, the fabric of our society. War and genocide, sexual abuse, greedy politicians and corporations, school shootings and terrorism, rape, adultery, divorce, selfishness, lies. We could all go on and on, couldn't we? We see it all around us. And if we're honest, we see it in ourselves. We live under the dominion of sin. In the words of the author Joseph Conrad, what is the heart of this darkness? Well, the Bible tells us it's that we are separated from the light. God, who is the source of all light and life. You see, we were never meant to be alone. God created us to be in a relationship with Him. When we're not in that relationship with Him, we don't function properly. We see in the beginning of the Bible, God invited Adam and Eve into a relationship with Him. And in that relationship, He protected them from death. He placed a tree in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life, so that they would never have to grow old and die. He protected them. He watched out for them. He cared for them. But at a certain point, they decided to go their own way. They stopped trusting Him. They felt like He was holding out on them. And even though He warned them that if they did that, the consequence would be death, they did it anyway. And that's the story of us, even to this day. When they did that, they brought the darkness into their hearts and into our world, the darkness of evil. So what can we do? Well, it makes sense, right? Go back to God. Only God can give us life that cannot be defeated by death. Only God can speak, "Let there be light," in the darkness of our hearts. But the problem is, how can we do that? We can't see Him. We can't hear Him. We can't travel to heaven. Even if we could, we don't deserve to be accepted back by Him in light of all the things we have done. Even if we could, we're not suited to being in heaven. We're mortal, perishable, and we're sinful. So what is left? Is all hope lost? In the words of Paul in the New Testament, "Wretched man that I am, who will free me from the body of this death?" We could not return to God. But because God loves us so much, He came to us to bring us back to Himself, to fill that void that was created when we left Him, that we had been filling with everything else, ultimately filling with darkness. He came to us to drive away the darkness in our hearts, to conquer death itself, to give us eternal life with Him. Almost 2,000 years ago, there was a man filled with anguish and despair. He was engaged to be married to a wonderful young woman, the love of his life, but he had just discovered something terrible. She was pregnant. In his culture, being engaged was as legally binding as marriage, but the couple was not allowed to have sex till their wedding night. So he knew that he was not the father. Can you imagine what was going on in his mind, in his heart? There was only one answer, right? She must have slept with another man. And according to the law of his people and of God, he was allowed to divorce her publicly, exposing her to shame. She could be put to death. But he loved her too much for that. He decided to quietly divorce her. With any luck, no one would be able to prove that she had committed adultery. But there was something else going on here, something that this man, Joseph, had not even imagined. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 25, we read this. "But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." And when it says he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, it means he didn't have sex with her until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. His fiancée, Mary, had not been unfaithful. In fact, this was something that God had done. This was a miracle. And the miracle went even beyond this amazing conception. His name would be Jesus. He wouldn't just be an ordinary human being. Jesus means Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh is the personal name of God. Yahweh is salvation. He was to be the fulfillment of God's promise of salvation, of the hopes and dreams and longings of every Jewish man, woman, and child for hundreds of years, and indeed, the longings of every human being who had ever lived. You see, 730 years before these events took place, the Jewish kingdom of Judah was being threatened by overwhelming odds. Armies surrounded them, the armies of the northern kingdom of Israel and of the armies of Aram, which is today called Syria. And God promised that he would deliver them. And he gave them a sign. He told the prophet Isaiah, "I'm giving you a sign," that a young woman would give birth to a child. And before this child reached the age of adult moral accountability, which is about 13 years, their enemies would be destroyed. Something inconceivable. How in the world would that happen? And that's exactly what happened. You can look it up in history, and it's remarkable. And this child had a special name. His name would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, for the Jewish people hearing that, this gave them such hope, such joy, such encouragement. Because you see, throughout the Old Testament, you'll see this again and again. Whenever God was with his people, they experienced victory. They experienced deliverance. They experienced salvation, the conquering of their enemies. And whenever God said that, he came through every single time. And so when they heard that, they had confidence. We're going to be okay. God is with us. He's going to protect us. He's going to save us. I remember when my sons were really small. It's hard to imagine now they're so big. But when they were really small and all cute and cuddly, and there would be a storm or a tornado warning, do you remember, maybe you remember when you were little, what do you think that they would say? What do you think that they would do? Go ahead, anyone? They'd come to me. They'd come to Heather. And they'd say, we're scared. Can we cuddle with you? Can we sleep with you? Can we be in your bed with you? Because when they knew that we were with them, they felt peace. They felt secure. They understood that we would take care of them. And that's how the Jewish people felt when they heard, God is going to be with us. But this sign was something even more than a sign for the people at that time. If you keep reading in Isaiah chapter 7 through 9, you find out this is a sign with a double fulfillment. In the near future, the fulfillment was the salvation of the Jewish people from the armies of Israel and Aram. But it also had a far future fulfillment that it talked about in that passage. That one day Emmanuel would come and he would rescue his people. And he would rescue his people from all enemies. They wouldn't have to be afraid anymore. And this was in the person of the Messiah, the Anointed One, the King and Savior of the Jewish people and of the whole world. So Emmanuel, the Jewish people understood, is not only someone who would come to represent near-term salvation, but one day an Emmanuel was coming who was going to save them from all their enemies for all time. And do you hear now what Joseph was hearing when the angel said these words? This is who his son would be. This is who Jesus would be. God with us. And not just for Joseph and Mary, but for all the Jewish people and for all the people of the world. Can you guys imagine the joy that Joseph and Mary felt on hearing these words? Not just the joy of having a new baby, but the joy of their salvation. Maybe it was something like this. This is why we call that night, O Holy Night, O Night Divine. It was the night when Christ was born, when God came to us in the person of a lowly baby. And Joseph and Mary were not the only ones who rejoiced. There were also shepherds out in the fields, and angels appeared to them and announced the birth of their Savior. And they rushed to where Jesus was. They couldn't believe it, that they could see him, that they were alive for this day. They were filled with joy at their salvation, and that their salvation had come from God. They couldn't believe it. In all their society, they were marginalized, oppressed. Nobody cared about them. Nobody thought about them. They were the poor, the lowly, and yet God had come for them, to save them, to rescue them, for all people. There were wise men who came from far away. They weren't even Jews, and yet God put a star in the sky to bring them to Jesus, and they came, and they gave him gifts, gifts fitting for a king, and they worshiped him as their king, again showing that Jesus had come not just for the Jews, but for all the people of the world. And there were others who believed as Jesus grew, as Jesus healed, and he forgave, and he transformed people as they put their faith in him. The darkness was driven back, one person at a time, one life at a time. Even death itself was conquered as Jesus would raise people from the dead. But most of his people did not welcome him. They rejected him. Ultimately, they killed him. They preferred the darkness rather than the light. But that didn't stop him. He rose from the dead. He appeared to his followers to encourage them and to send them out to tell everyone to believe in him. And then he returned to heaven. But he didn't leave us alone. He sent his Spirit to be with us. And he's still working in this world through his Spirit, through his people, to drive back the darkness one person at a time. And one day soon, he promises that he's coming back to finish what he has begun, to establish his kingdom over all the earth, to put an end to death and evil forever. This world is not as good as it gets. There is hope. There is a future because of Jesus, Emmanuel. And in the meantime, the question for us all is this: how will we respond to Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us? Like the shepherds and the wise men, full of joy, bringing our treasures to him, our very lives to him, entrusting ourselves to him? Or will we respond like those who rejected Jesus as their King and Savior? We read these words in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Jesus has made God known. This is the only hope that has been given to us. The only answer: Jesus Christ, God with us, the light and life that overcomes the darkness. And the question is, will you receive him into your life today, right now? Will you accept him as your rightful king? Will you trust in him to restore you to God, to save you from death and the evil that is in your heart? If you do, his promise, we just read it, is you will be adopted as his child and given his life and light forever. And you will receive the promise that Jesus gave to his disciples after he had conquered death and sin for them through his death and resurrection. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this." Listen to these words: "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." There it is again. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God's promise of victory, of salvation, of deliverance for his people throughout the ages. And that's what you receive when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You guys, let us rejoice and be glad. And not just at Christmas, but at every day. Let's share in the joy of Joseph and Mary and the shepherds and the wise men and of everyone who has ever lived and believed in Jesus Christ. We could not return to God on our own, but God has come to us in the person of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, to save us from the darkness. And through receiving Jesus into our hearts by faith, God is with us forever. And nothing can conquer that. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, amen. Thank you so much for loving us so much. You didn't just leave us here in the darkness where we deserve to be. Though we rejected you, you did not reject us. And you sent Jesus to save us from our sins, to save us from ourselves, to save us from darkness, to save us from death itself. Thank you that in him we have light and life and hope, a certain good future. Oh Lord, help us afresh today to put our trust in him. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for giving up all the comforts and the glory of heaven to come down and be born as a little baby in squalid, poor surroundings, and to grow up and to suffer like us, to be tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin, and to go to the cross for us. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us so much. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for working in our hearts to encourage us, to remind us every day that you are with us, that God is with us. Encourage our hearts right now. In Jesus' name, amen.